ولقد يسرنا القرآن للذكر فهل من مدكر.
Good Tree Academy presents Quran Connection. Help support the education of our future Muslim leaders. This year, Good Tree Academy is accepting Zakat funds for our tuition assistance program. Visit goodtreeacademy.org/Ramadan.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. يا أيها الناس إنا خلقناكم من ذكر وأنثى وجعلناكم شعوبا وقبائل لتعارفوا إن أكرمكم عند الله أتقاكم إن الله عليم خبير. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. ومن آياته خلق السماوات والأرض واختلاف ألسنتكم وألوانكم إن في ذلك لآيات للعالمين. Started today makes me love the messenger even more, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. I imagine most likely that he, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and probably many Muslim leaders after him, many Muslim leaders and du'at, meaning da'i, people who call to the religion of Allah, religious leaders, I imagine him, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and many leaders after him, who found themselves about to deliver a khutbah, and as the adhan is going on, people are still busy talking to each other and chit-chatting about what they've been doing today, about the day that's been going on. And how he was so patient, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, to educate the people such that, imagine, visualize this. Is there any masjid in the world that when the adhan is finished and the imam starts speaking, you have people chatting to each other all over the place? Is there any masjid? Not a single masjid. I can't imagine this. With the patience of the messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he didn't force people to be quiet. He made them understand what's so important about Jumu'ah so that they be quiet. One time a student asked me, "Brother Michael, how come sometimes in the khutbah you talk about something that happened the same morning?" And I said, because when I prepare the khutbah, I prepare according to the audience that I'm speaking to. I want to know what's going on in the school so that I can speak in such a way that you're interested to listen to what I have to say. Otherwise, the messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, people would be talking during his khutbah. He would have to force them to be quiet, but he didn't, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He made them understand why it's so important to be quiet. So I try my best to talk about things that are relevant to the students that I'm speaking to. And so today, I decided that I was going to take from something that I read on one of the posters that are not here anymore, from the Science Fair Award ceremony this morning, that some of you weren't here. I actually don't know when the elementary had or are going to have theirs, but this was from the middle and the high school. So let me start first by mentioning that, let's take an example. You walk out of the home to go to the car, and you just go straight. And your parents call you, "No, the car is this way." "No, but I'm trying to go straight." "No, but the car is this way." So then your parents get you to go to the car. Then your dad starts driving the car and he goes straight. And then when he gets to the first intersection, he can't go straight anymore. He stops and he says, I can't go anywhere. I want to go straight. I want to be on a straight path." That doesn't make sense. What I'm just saying, it doesn't make sense. All of you, if you were to drive straight on a straight road, on a straight path from your house, you would never get to Guthrie. You have to take turns. You have to take a crooked path to come to Guthrie. Yet every day we ask Allah to guide us to the straight path. So all of you understand that when Allah says straight, He's not talking about in a straight geometrical line that you cannot take a turn. He's not talking about the physical aspect of straight. He's talking about spiritually straight, spiritually upright, a good person. So it does include to stand upright when you stand, to not walk leaning, to stand upright. But it indicates a path that is straight spiritually, the right way to go, the correct way to follow. And so like that, the word, there are two words in Arabic that refer to this. Allah created, and the word for created is khalq. Khalaqa is the verb, khalq is creation. And then many of you have memorized in Surah Al-Qalam, وَإِنَّكَ لَعَلَىٰ خُلُقٍ عَظِيمٍ. So you have khalq, which is creation, and you have khuluq, which is also creation, but you will never find a translation of the Quran that says that khuluq in that ayah means creation. وَإِنَّكَ لَعَلَىٰ خُلُقٍ عَظِيمٍ. Allah is saying to the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, you are on an amazing khuluq. No one will translate, you are on a amazing creation. No. What is the translation for khuluq? Manners, character, behavior. Akhlaq is the plural. So khalq is the physical outward way that Allah created us, whereas khuluq is the inner way that Allah created us. The part of us that is not visible to the eyes. Some people have a stronger sense of humor. Some people have more patience. Some people are more analytically minded. Some people are more interpersonal. They like to talk to people and listen to people. This is not something that you can see when you look at a person. This is only something you find out that it's part of things that you cannot see. But this is still the way that they're created. So there's the khalq and there's the khuluq. One of the students wrote in the poster for the science fair that Allah created, لَقَدْ خَلَقَنَا الْإِنسَانَ فِي أَحْسَنِ تَقْوِيمٍ. Allah created the human being in the best possible way. How come then human beings are not all the same? If Allah created the human being in the best possible way, how come we are not all the same? And so this goes for both the khalq, the visible outward way we are created. All of us are different. All of us have a different tone of the voice. All of us have a different skin tone. All of us have different features of the face. Taller and shorter, all of that. We all look different. But we also have different inner qualities. The khuluq inside, all of us are different in the amount of patience we have, or in the amount of different qualities that we have. Allah created us all different. So in that ayah where Allah says He created us in the best way, in the best possible way, what this means is that the part of khalq that is common to every single human being is the best. And the part of khuluq, which is common to every single human being, is the best. What is common to all of us? We all have five fingers on each hand. We all have two hands. We all have two arms. We all have two legs. That part, we all have an intellect. We are all able to speak language. That is what Allah refers to. The way in which He created us is the best possible way. Actually, not just that we're not all the same. It is part of the excellence of the way Allah created us that we are not all the same. If Allah created us all the same, like clones, then it would not be the best. Then the human being would not be the best creation. Our diversity is part of the fact that we are the best creation. There's an interesting reflection about the ayah in Surah Ar-Rum that I recited a minute ago. One of the signs of Allah, Allah created the heavens and the earth, and Allah created you with different languages and different skin tones. Because languages, where do languages come from? Languages is what makes us human being. Languages is part of us being the best of creation. of Allah in the best way. Allah created the human being in the best way. Languages is part of that. Because languages, no other creation of Allah has languages like we have. So many different languages. I believe all birds speak the same language. They can probably understand each other. They don't have languages like we do. Right? So, all these different languages is part of Allah's creation. Languages is what Allah taught us. And it comes from the sky. Allah taught human beings language. So, one of the signs of Allah is the creation of the sky and the earth. And the differences in your languages, which come from the sky, and the differences in your skin colors. And Allah created Adam from what? Adam from the elements of the earth. And so just like earth has so many different colors, human beings are of so many different colors. Because Allah created Adam from the earth. So a sign of Allah is the creation of the heavens from which comes all those different languages. And a sign of Allah is the creation of the earth from which comes all the different physical features of the human being. SubhanAllah. A powerful message for those who know. And every time I mention this ayah, I say that it would only be a person who is racist has to be ignorant. Because Allah says that it is a sign of Allah. All these differences are a sign of Allah for people who know. That means if you don't think that it is a sign of Allah, people who are racist, that means you don't know. You have no knowledge. You're ignorant. Racism is a sign of deep ignorance of a person. SubhanAllah. Let me share with you some aspects of history that show, yet again, how Muslims have always been at the forefront of fighting against racism. And at the forefront of helping people follow the Qur'an, which is the message of Allah to all people. Okay, so now I go to the ayah I started with. يَا أَيُّهَا النَّاسِ إِنَّا خَلَقَنَاكُمْ مِنْ ذَكَرٍ وَأُنْثَى. Allah tells all people. When Allah says, يَا أَيُّهَا النَّاسِ, it means that whatever He's about to say, anyone who has common sense will agree with it. And what does Allah say? We created you from one single male and female, and then we created you into different groups, different tribes. You're all different, so that you can get to know each other, interact with each other. Allah is saying this to all people, meaning anybody who has common sense will know that we shouldn't fight each other because we look different or we speak a different language. We should learn from each other. Learn to live together with our differences. Enrich each other with our differences. Share what we have and take from what others have. And develop a beautiful community based on our differences. And the fact Allah starts with, Ya Ayyuhan Nas, means that anybody who has common sense would know that this is the case. Would see from Allah's creation that this is the case. He's not saying, Ya Ayyuhal Ladhina Amanu. You don't have to be a believer. You don't have to be a Muslim to know that Allah created us all different, not so that we fight each other, so that we get to spend time together and learn from each other and develop the community based on all of our strengths. And you know, a place on earth where Muslims showed the world this common sense reality, that when you work together, that is the best. The best community is the community that works together with their differences. That is India. And when I say India, for the next 5 minutes, I'm not speaking only of the country with the borders that today is called India. I'm talking about the entire space south of the Himalayas mountains. So India, Pakistan, Bangladesh, that area. Muslims showed the world until today that the best community is the community that works with all their differences. Because you see, India, how do I say this? There would be no such thing as Hinduism if it weren't for Muslims. When Muslims came to India, they did not have Hinduism. They did not have one religion that they call Hinduism. Today they call it Hindus. They call it Hinduism. In India, there are three religions. There's Muslims, there's Hindus, and there's Christians, and there's also a few Buddhists. When the Muslims came, there was no such thing as Hinduism. It didn't exist. Because the people of India were all fighting each other. They had spent millennia fighting each other. Small different sects, small different religions, to be honest. If you know anything about Hinduism, and a lot of you are from that area of the world, or your parents are from that area of the world, so maybe you already know. Hindus are of so many different kinds. And one group worships this idol, and another one this idol, another one. They have all these different, they're not the same. They all have these different things that they do. Before Muslims came, it was like tiny little kingdoms. Literally, tiny little kingdoms. You'd have 1,000 kingdoms in what's today India. And they were all fighting with each other all the time. None of them would ever have said that they believe in the same God, that they have the same religion, that they're all Hindus of the same religion. No way. Once the Muslims came, that's when the picture changed. Muslims were able to help people living in India to work together. And they made the best country, not country, it wasn't a country at the time. So this was in the end of the 18th century, that India was the best country in the world, or the best place in the world, as far as being advanced in civilization. And I forgot the technical terms they use. The money that people were making in India was the best in the world. The best country in the world. The best place in the world. This was because of the Muslims, who helped these people from these 1,000 different kingdoms, small places, to stop fighting each other and to start working together. So for centuries that Muslims were in India, they were collaborating for a beautiful, peaceful community that was thriving. Subhanallah. قولوا قولي هذا وأستغفر الله لي ولكم فاستغفروه إنه هو الغفور الرحيم. الحمد لله الحمد لله الذي هدانا وما كنا لنهتدي لولا أن هدانا الله. So the reason I'm sharing this particular aspect of history, I said it was because I wanted to highlight how the Muslims contributed, how the Muslims helped the world to see that the best community is the community that works with their differences. The best country is the country that accepts everybody no matter their differences, no matter what their differences are, and works with everybody's strength to develop a strong community. That is the best way. The reason I'm sharing this story is because there are a lot of people, unfortunately, who are trying to convince you and convince me and convince the American population that India is messed up because of Muslims. So I need you to know that India, that Muslims was the best thing that happened to India. And again, when I say India, I'm speaking of India, Pakistan, Bangladesh, that area of the world. They became the best because of Muslims. Muslims brought nothing but good to that continent, that area of the world. That at one point in time, there was an invasion called the Mongol invasion, and they defeated everybody and massacred people and destroyed cities. There's a very famous destruction of the city of Baghdad. You know who were the only ones able to defeat them? The Muslims of India. Or India, Pakistan, Bangladesh. It wasn't separated like that before. They were the only ones who were able to defeat the Mongols. Everything that India is known for today is known for it because of what the Muslims established in India. And the Muslims in India did not force anybody to become Muslim. They did not. People might want you, there are a lot of people today that are trying to convince us that Muslims force people to become Muslim. They did not. That's not a true historical fact. That's historical falsehood. There was every single city in India has and has had masjid, church, temple, multiple temples of different Hindu groups. So why are they now divided? People say that the true reason that India is not doing too good and is being divided is because of the tactics of the colonialists, the colonizers. What was their tactic? You've heard this before probably. Divide and conquer. You see, Muslims, Allah teaches us, and anybody who has common sense will know that the best community will develop when you don't divide, you come together. But the colonizers, they didn't want to come together. They wanted to conquer. They wanted to be in control. And so to be in control, they divided between people. And so the own Muslims and people of other religions in India only started fighting against each other after the colonizers had come and divided them to be able to conquer them. SubhanAllah. So know this. Know that Allah has created us with different qualities inside and different looks on the outside, all of it so that we can get to know each other and benefit from each other's strength and help each other against each other's weaknesses. That is what Allah wants for us. Do not let anybody convince you that Muslims are not bringing something good to any part of the world. The Quran, Allah sent down the Quran for all people. And He put guidance in it for all people. And the Quran is the way that a civilization can thrive and can do the best. Soon, the month of Ramadan is coming, so I'll conclude with this. Make sure that you connect to the Book of Allah, the Quran. I try every week to share things with you that will motivate you to turn to the Quran. Because the Quran is not just some other book. The Quran is the word of Allah. So turn to the Quran and make sure that throughout the coming 6 weeks, 7 weeks before Ramadan comes, you spend time dedicated to the Quran. Turn to the Quran with love. Put your heart and dedicate yourself to read the Quran and read it properly and spend time with it. ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين وأقم الصلاة.
Help support the education of our future Muslim leaders. This year, Guthrie Academy is accepting Zakat funds for our tuition assistance program. Visit guthrieacademy.org/Ramadan.